Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam today. This is the seventh canto, chapter number 8. And this is text number 30. Samramba Duspriksha Karala Lochano Vyatananattam Vilihan Swajivaya Asrig Lavaktaruna Kesharanano Yatantramali Dvipa Hatyaya Hari Samramba Dushpriksha Karala Lochano Vyatananantam Vilihan Swajivaya. Asriglavaktaruna Kesharanano. Yatantramali Dvipahataya Hatyaya Hari. Samramba Duspriksha Karala Lochano Vyatananantam Vilihan Swajivaya Asriglavak Taruna Kesharanano Yatantra Mali Dvipahat Jaya Hari. Vaishnavis. Samramba, because of great anger, Duspriksha, very difficult to look at. Karala, very fearful. Lochana, eyes. Vyata, expanded. Ananantam, the edge of the mouth. Vilihan, licking. Swajivaya, with his tongue. Ashriklava, with spots of blood. Akta, smeared. Aruna, reddish. Keshara, mane. Anana, and face. Yata, just as. Antramali, decorated with a garland of intestines. Dvipahatyaya, by the killing of an elephant. Hari, the lion. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Nrisimhadeva's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisimhadeva, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that had just killed an elephant. Jaya, please repeat. Lord Nrisimhadeva's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nrisimhadeva, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that had just killed an elephant. Purport. The hair on Lord Nrisimhadeva's face, being sprinkled with drops of blood, was reddish and looked very beautiful. Lord Nrisimhadeva pierced Hiranyakashipu's abdomen with his nails, pulled out the demon's intestines, and wore them as a garland, which enhanced his beauty. Thus the Lord became very fearsome, like a lion engaged in fighting an elephant. Om Gyana Tumirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksus Unmanitamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Upakatamayam Tadanti Svapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Samramba Duspriksha Karalalo Chano Vyatananantam Vilihan Swajivaya Ashriglavak Taruna Kesharana No Yatantramali Dvipahatjaya Hari. Lord Nrisimhadeva's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality Godhead, Nrisimhadeva, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that has just killed an elephant. So Prabhupada's purport is so nice too. I'll read that again, sorry, short. The hair on Lord Nrisimhadeva's face, being sprinkled with drops of blood, was reddish and looked very beautiful. Lord Nrisimhadeva pierced Hiranyakashipu's abdomen with his nails, pulled out the demon's intestines, and wore them as a garland, which enhanced his beauty. Thus the Lord became very fearsome, like a lion engaged in fighting an elephant. So you could take darshan of Lord Nrisimhadeva. You can imagine him having a nice movie of this and focusing in on all the, you know, zooming in on the drops of blood on his whiskers and how beautiful it looked, emanating intestines hanging from his neck. And it's just so beautiful. So this is some, need some creative imagination for these people that create films. So Lord Nrisimhadev, this is such a wonderful story about Lord Nrisimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj. Whenever there's an assembly of devotees speaking about Krishna and his pastimes, inevitably Prahlad Maharaj comes up, because he's like one of the greatest devotees, you know, that ever practically. I mean, we can't imagine how fearless he was. Can you imagine, like, if a cobra snake just started swirling in the temple room here? Around, people would freak out and start screaming and running around, you know, men and women. But he was thrown in a pit of snakes, and he was fearless. Or sometimes, you know, they have these riots and these gangs go around, they're going around and, you know, we get all fearful, they're going to come at me, they might beat me up or something. But, you know, Prahlad Maharaj was a target of demons with weapons. They were after him. They were trying to kill him. And he was just completely fearless. I can't imagine such a personality. How he can, you know, be so fearless, especially from a great personality like his father. He was the greatest demon of his time. He performed the greatest austerities, and he achieved the highest possible power that you can get in this material world. But yet, Prahlad Maharaj was completely unafraid of his father. I mean, if he was afraid of him, he probably would have, you know, agreed to everything he said, right? Okay, okay. Like, you know, they did in that play. Yes, Maharaj. You know, I'll do whatever you say. He wasn't. He just stood up to him and said, you know, you're just a fool. You're like a sense enjoyer. You should just give this up and go to the forest and, you know, worship Krishna. Krishna! So, well, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from this chapter. You know, so much of this pastime. But we'll pick out a few lessons. And it's similar because Hiranyakashipu was a great demon, right? So was Ravana, was a great demon. All these demons, practically it's the same person. You know, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, they're the same person. And we can see with the pastime of these demons, just like Prahlad Maharaj was very much attached to a great saintly person, and that was Narada Muni. And he would listen to him when he was in the womb, and he became so attached to him and followed his instructions. So in the same way, Lord Ram, they met a great saintly person too in the forest. He was Agastya Muni, great saintly personality. And he was served by Ram and Lakshmana with very faithful sincerity, submissive hearing, and they received his mercy. Because of that, he was pleased, this great saint was pleased by these these personalities. So they received this, what's called a Ditya Hridai mantra. It was a mantra which actually contained the power of Lord Vishnu. And this was able to dispel this darkness of ignorance and darkness from this demon, Ravana, which represented lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, all these things, same things Hiranyakashipu had. And he received this great powerful mantra, and he also received this special arrow, which was able to kill this demon. So this is the mercy. He got the mercy of the great souls. What do you get? A great powerful, you get the power of Krishna, and you get a weapon to fight with, to protect yourself. You see, this is the power of God and his holy name. And in this age, we have that same mantra, the power given to us by Lord Chaitanya, the Hare Krishna Ma mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It includes all those mantras. Even this Aditya Hridaya, which is the power of Lord Vishnu. So during the battle between Ravana, you can see how Lord Ram had this special arrow where he'd shoot it at Ravana. And it would split into 10 arrows and it would cut off all Ravana's 10 heads at once. But then what happened? After that, and boop, 10 more heads popped up. So he did it like 10 or I don't know how many times he did that. And he just kept coming up. So Lord Ram was thinking, this is going to go on forever. How is this going to, it can't be defeated. But then he had the association of a very faithful devotee, and which happened to be, you know, Ravana's brother, Vibhishan. And he reminded him that, don't you remember you got this special benediction from Agastya Muni? You know, he gave you this special mantra and this arrow. Because I'll tell you a secret that Ravana has this special benediction from Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And within his heart, there's this little cavity of nectar that, you know, keeps him from getting. And if you try to cut off any limb, it'll grow back or it'll be replenished. So he said, you have to use that arrow, you know, to shoot his heart. So Lord Ram was very appreciative. And this is a good example because it represents how we should always be in association with devotees. Because they remind us of our power and how to protect ourselves from the demons. And the biggest demons are the ones that are within us. So we have to destroy the Hiranyakashipu at home. First, where is home? Wherever your heart is, that's where your home is. So Lord Rama received this special technique on how to defeat this demon. These three items, these three ways to kill the demons within. That's with the mantra. That is the supreme power of Lord Vishnu, of Krishna. The mercy of great souls. By their association, they always remind us of our position, of how we can defeat this Maya. Unfortunately, we have the story of Bharat Maharaj. He was off on his own, practically, you know, the first stages of love of God. He renounced everything, his great kingdom, his beautiful wife, his treasury, everything. But yet he didn't have the association of devotees to remind him again. What are you doing with this deer? You know, you're forgetting your devotional service. Take it up. Nonsense. No. So the devotees were something, you know, help him in that way. But he wasn't there. He didn't have. So therefore he had to receive an animal of a deer, a body of a deer. So these are the three ways to kill these demons within. So united, we can stand. But if we're divided, we can fall. This is a great battle we're in. You know, it's a battle of trying to control the senses. If we try to control the senses on our own, it's like trying to cut off the heads of Lord Ravana. They just keep popping back up. But we can't leave the battlefield. We have to be courageous. We have to be fearless, like Prahlad Maharaj. The most fearless devotee. How? By taking shelter of powers beyond us. The supreme power of the holy names. You know, the weapons of the devotees' association. And then we get strength. That's what we're praying to. We're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for strength against these temptations, against this evil. And we're begging for devotional service, which is a joyful process. It's our breath of life. It's eternal, unending pleasure. And this is what the problems were with these demons. They're trying to enjoy pleasure here in the material world. It's like a lower taste. But we take shelter of a higher taste by experiencing all kinds of different expressions of devotion through our senses, like our taste. We taste wonderful devotional prasadam. We see the beautiful deities. We hear the glorification of Krishna and his devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. There's a nice verse in the 10th canto which says, O Brahmana, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification, give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttama Sloka after hearing them repeatedly. So see, we have to constantly be engaged in this process. Don't give it up. And then the next verse. Actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord. Real hands are those that work for Him. A true mind is that which always remembers Him, dwelling within everything, moving and non-moving. And actual ears are those that listen to sanctifying topics about Him. So here we're getting a complete picture of Krishna consciousness, that all the senses have to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Because without a connection to Krishna consciousness, then this body is completely useless. All its organs, everything is useless. Even though you may have a powerful body like demon Ravana or Hiranyakashipu, still, a thunderbolt couldn't kill him, couldn't kill Hiranyakashipu. You know, so many weapons couldn't kill Ravana. But yet it was completely useless. Just like we can see, another lesson here is that, you know, there's such a great endeavor they both went through, these demons. But even the greatest endeavor, if it leads to death, then why bother? Right? They're eventually defeated. You know, so many material arrangements are made. You know, Hiranyakashipu is the epitome. Thousands of years of austerities to get all these benedictions. But yet, thinking he was so perfect, there's many loopholes, which we've already discovered, how Lord Nrisimhadev killed him in so many different ways. And just like Ravana went through so much trouble to capture Sita. And all along, it was a false Sita. It wasn't even the real Sita. It was just illusory. You see? So this is Maya, that which is not. These are reflected images of real enjoyment. But real enjoyment is service and devotion. And that's Krishna consciousness, is teaching us how to become a bona fide enjoyer. And that's the soul. He's actually an instrument. He's an instrument of God's compassion. And he has service to all living beings. This is how we become happy. This is the attitude of the devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj. His desire was that he would not go back to Godhead until all the fools and rascals would come back. And he prayed for the benediction that he would always be engaged in Krishna's service. And he also prayed for the benediction that his father would also go back. So this is happiness, is this real Krishna consciousness enjoyment. And that's available everywhere, to everybody. Just like we have these invisible radio waves and TV rays going everywhere. Anybody can tune into them. You just have to know how to tune into it, get the right frequency. And what is the right frequency to tune into this unlimited happiness, this unlimited mercy? And that's the frequency of Tunadapi Sunichena. That humble service attitude to all living beings. Then we can access the complete mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, and his devotees. And this was the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He gave us the mercy. He took the hippies and he turned them to happies. Turned sinful persons into servants of Krishna and humanity. So Prabhupada gave this most precious gift of eternal life, of ecstatic love of God to our most dearest friend, Krishna. So we have to protect our consciousness from these demoniac tendencies from within. Ultimately, Krishna can protect our consciousness. When we're in a difficult situation, you know, if we're in a high consciousness, if we're in Krishna consciousness, we actually don't suffer. So this is that prayer, that mantra, to protect our consciousness. And Krishna always will. There's so many stories, even today, of Lorna Shringadev protecting his devotees. You could go, there's a website you could go, and there's all kinds of stories of actually today, this day and age, of how Lorna Shringadev appeared to children, to people in different distressful conditions. We even have a devotee here that he helped him. I don't see him today, but you can approach him and ask him. And that's Banabhata Prabhu. I don't know where he is, but you can ask him sometime. Tell him to tell you his Nisringadev story, how he protected him. So this is actually reality. It's available for all. You just have to tune in. There's a nice how this consciousness is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that consciousness is actually a platform of attachment. So attachment for material things is called material consciousness, and attachment for Krishna and his devotees, that's called Krishna consciousness. And there's a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's in the third canto, given by Kapila Dev. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul, but that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. We see that example. Prahlada Maharaj was attached to the devotees, you know, Narada Muni, even Lord Ram, who was acting as a great king, was attached to the great saints and sages. He got their mercy. So this is where Prabhupada says in the purport that attachment cannot be killed. It has simply to be transferred. So there he says, attachment for material things is called material consciousness, and attachment for Krishna or his devotee is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. So Prabhupada also writes in the purport here that this indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. See, that's consciousness, is attachment. So you can see, everyone, if they don't have something to be attached to, like a person or a relationship with something, what do? They get an object of attachment, like a pet, a dog or a cat, or something they're attached to. They're precious jewelry. My precious iPhone, whatever, you know, some precious thing. But we're attached, right? So you can't give it up. So he says here, attachment for material things perpetuates our conditioned state, but the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, is the source of liberation. And Prabhupada, I'll end with this last one in this purport here, particular purport. Prabhupada says, attachment to devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord. Because if one associates with a sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshiper, and a sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu, like we have the gifts of Prabhupada. If we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions on how to improve our material condition. But he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attraction and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of associating with a sadhu. So that's an amazing lesson we could learn. Another lesson we could see of Prahlada Maharaj, how even though his father was like the worst person, right, in the entire planet, entire universe, Prahlada Maharaj loved him, actually. Even the way he talked, he said, my dear father, you know, O best of the Asuras, you know. He never got angry with him. He was just always, you know, smiling. You know, he loved his father. So it trains us to see that no matter who they are, the worst people, we should see them as spirit souls. And stories like this, they prevent us from falling into this passion and ignorance and hatred in the name of religion. Actually, religious fanaticism is the biggest political and social problem in the world right now. You know, even Vivishvan did not want to perform the last rites for his brother because he was such a demon. But Ram said, no, you know, you have to learn to forgive and you have to develop love. So you should do the last rites for Ravana. So he did. He showed his love that way. You know, ultimately, Hiranyakashipu is a pure spirit soul, right? I mean, everybody's a pure spirit soul. The body is actually dead. Everybody's body's dead. It's just, you know, a covering. But the soul is pure. So, we have to see, I mean, we can see in the Christian, in the dualic Christian worldview, they don't have this perspective. You see, like the Christians, they were persecuted, and then when they were stopped being persecuted, they started persecuting again. They started persecuting themselves. They started torturing people, and they believed in this perpetual, eternal damnation of suffering forever, you know, for your sins. There's no redemption for you. You have to perpetually suffer. You can imagine a God like that? You know, he would be like a monster. So this is where we have to see that we have to have this forgiveness. Otherwise, like the Christians, you see, they were persecuting people even for, like, they called crimes of thought crimes. If they had a different philosophy, you would actually be persecuted and tortured. This is where they came. So these acts, these evil acts, are not justified by real religious principles that we learn from these stories. You see? So there's another great devotee we're reminded today, because it's his disappearance day. It's Ramanujacharya. And talking about mantras and, you know, having compassion for all living entities and desiring to serve everyone. We don't have much time, but I'm just going to read one pastime that Ramanujacharya, because it's his disappearance today, to showing the real, you know, love of a devotee for everyone. And he was a great acharya in the Sri Sampradaya. So after arriving in Sri Rangam, Ramanujacharya immersed himself in studying the scriptures under the guidance of Mahapurna, a prominent disciple of Yamunacharya, with the help of Mahapurna. Ramanujacharya became expert in many scriptures, including the Nyasatattva, the Gitartha Sangraha, the Siddhitraya, the Brahma Sutra, and the Pancharatras. After some time, Mahapurna advised Ramanujacharya to go to the great Goshtipurna and accept initiation in the Vaishnava mantra from him. So at the behest of Mahapurna, Ramanuja approached Goshtipurna for the mantra, but was refused. For Goshtipurna was reluctant to give such a confidential mantra to a relative newcomer. See, he knew the power in these mantras, the power of Lord Vishnu. Ramanujacharya approached Goshtipurna 18 times with great humility. So to see this humility, that's how you tune in to the mercy of the devotees. Finally breaking into tears and pleading for his mercy, at last Goshtipurna gave him the mantra. After first swearing him to absolute secrecy, when Ramanuja had vowed never to repeat the mantra to anyone else, Goshtipurna whispered the mantra in his ear, saying, "This mantra is most powerful. Whoever chants it will attain liberation. He will return to the spiritual Vaikuntha planets, where he will achieve the personal service of the Lord." This is what he was told. After he left the temple and proceeded towards Sri Rangam, a crowd gathered around Ramanujacharya. They had heard that he was to receive the mantra from Goshtipurna and begged to know its secret. Inspired to distribute the magic of the mantra that could free anyone who chants it from material existence, Ramanuja announced to the crowd, "Please chant this mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya." The crowd was overjoyed and felt that they had been truly blessed. But when the news reached Goshtipurna, he called for Ramanuja, outraged that this new disciple would disobey his order so quickly. He demanded an explanation. "I told you to keep this mantra a secret. Why have you so quickly revealed it to the masses? Do you know the penalty for such behavior?" Ramanuja replied, "Yes, Gurudev, I may go to hell for disobeying your order." "Then why have you done such a thing?" "My beloved teacher, I realized that the power of the mantra given by you could deliver everyone who hears it. When I saw the earnest desire of these people to be saved from material life, I could not contain myself. I felt some divine inspiration to distribute your mercy to all of them. If this is a great sin, then I must be punished by your holiness. Condemn me to hell. Then if my sin warrants it, but please do not show your wrath to these simple people who begged me for the mantra." When Goshtipurna saw the earnest sincerity of his disciple, his heart was moved. After all, what greater principle can there be than to distribution of the Lord's mercy? Although Ramanuja had disobeyed the letter of his instructions about the mantra, he had understood the real spirit of the mantra itself. He would make a great preacher of Sri Sampradaya, and has shown that he had the capacity to instill devotion in the hearts of the people in general. How could he then be condemned? Goshtipurna fell at Ramanuja's feet, saying, "Forgive me, my child. It is you who are my master and I the disciple. Who am I to take the role of your guru? How could I know your greatness? Accept me as your disciple." Sorry. So that's the glories of Ramanuja. So just see the gifts that we have, the power that we have access to, if we just tune in properly. You know, take advantage of these three weapons to defeat this demon within. These demons within. So is there any comments, questions, realizations? Yes. It's the mercy of the great souls. So there's the mantra, which is the power of Lord Vishnu, then the mercy of the great souls, which represents the arrow, the weapon, and then the faithful devotee association. So devotee association. See? So, yeah. So Vibhishvan like represented that faithful association, which reminded Ram that you got this special mercy, this arrow from this great soul, and you also got this mantra. So he reminded him to chant that and use that arrow. So, any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.
I like that.